Okay, so we're on volume 27, 12, 24, 29. My daughter, you too can do the rounds of love in the immense sea of my divine will. So again, Jesus is now showing us that doing the rounds of the divine will, we can do this in the immense ocean of the divine will. You can act as a ship does. When it wants to cross the sea, it plunges into the sea, the waters split, and it lets it pass. And while it moves quickly, it leaves the white wake behind itself as the sign that the ship is passing through that point of the sea. And then, little by little, the wake disappears, and no sign is left that the ship ever passed. But in spite of this, the ship has done its run in the sea and has arrived there where it had established to go. In the same way, if the soul wants to love, she plunges into the sea of my divine fiat and she'll form her run of love. So again, this isn't human. This isn't human love, it's divine love. She says, and the soul shall make her round in all of eternity, and it will not happen to her as to the ship, that nothing remains in the sea of its passing, having passed. As the water proud, close from behind, leaves no trace that the ship has ever passed. On the contrary, in the sea of my divine volition, as the soul plunges into this divine will to do her run, our divine waters seethe, and in their gurgling, they form the furrow, and where that does not disappear. But the sign remains, and it points out to everyone her run of love done in the ocean of the divine will, in such a way that we, Triune God, are able to say, through here passed and did her run of love, Louisa, the one who lives in our divine will, because that what was done in it remains as indelible. So these are never forgotten. So when you give to Jesus an act of love in the divine will, that love will last for all eternity. It will be seen by anyone and everyone for all eternity. See, that's why we here on earth can do the acts done in the divine will. Those that have died cannot do any more acts. They're living in the divine will, but they cannot do any more acts. So the more acts that you do while you're living, the more this will last for all eternity, the more you will see it. So you want to make sure that you do your rounds every day, that you do your acts in the divine will, from your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. We want to make sure that we're giving God all the glory, all the honor, all the love that God so rightly deserves. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Again, this will last forever. 100 million years from now, you will see that act of love continue throughout eternity. See, this is what Jesus means by divine lives. They live forever. These words that Jesus has given to us in the divine will. The Word of God gives these words to us, and as we breathe them, as we pray them, they last forever because they're divine lives. And this is why God is asking us to participate in this. So he says, in the same way, if you want to do your adorations, if you want to be embellished, if you want to be sanctified, if you want to be powerful, wise, plunge yourself into our divine will. And while you do your run, your round, you shall remain all love, all beautiful, all holy. You shall acquire the science of who your Creator is, and of all your motions will be profound adorations. And you shall leave our ocean, our sea, as many furrows for as many different runs that you have done in the divine fiat, and many different rounds, in such a way that we, Triune God, shall say, in this round that Louisa, little daughter of our divine will, did in our ocean, Louisa formed the furrow of sanctity, and we, Triune God, sanctified Louisa, and Louisa remained holy. And this other run, she plunged into the sea of our beauty and formed her furrow, and we embellished Louisa, and Louisa remained embellished for all eternity. And in this other, she formed the furrow of our knowledges, and she knew us, Triune God. We, Triune God, spoke to her and made ourselves known and spoke to her at length about our divine being. And our divine word bound Louisa, identified Louisa with us, Triune God. And we, Triune God, feel the irresistible need to make ourselves known more and more and to give Louisa the greatest gift, of manifesting to her our truths. So for each run you do in our supreme fiat, you always take of your own, of our own, and of our love, of our seethings, that speaks of you to us and points out to us, your triune God, your runs in with its gurglings as the sign that you have been in our divine sea. See, this isn't human. Like he says, a human, you know, you walk on the beach and the waves come in and your footprints are gone. No, in the divine will, you walk on the beach in the divine will, that's for eternity. It will never disappear. It's the same thing with every thought, every word, every deed. Our God wants to give us this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. God wants us to participate in him. And what Jesus did is forever. Excuse me. It will never end. What God wants is for us to participate in him. Volume 28, 22, 30. Therefore, Louisa, the one who lives in our divine will, can be called heavens that are always fixed and stable at their place of honor with all their stars. And if they revolve, since it is the whole of creation that revolves, they do not change place, nor do they mutate. But the heavens remain always immutable with all the stars. Such is Louisa, who lives in my divine will. See now, what Jesus says about Louisa, he wants to say about us. If we are linked to Louisa, if we're one with Louisa. See, you can't do this separate from her. This is her gift. And this whole 36 volumes is about Louisa. And our job is to link ourselves with Louisa so that we can receive what God gave to her. Very clearly. Such is Louisa who lives in my divine will. She may make her round, do various actions, but since she makes her round within the motive power of my divine fiat, in the wholeness of my divine will, Louisa will always be heavens, always immutable in her goods and the prerogatives with which my supreme will has endowed her. So here, never changing, always, always with Louisa. It can be said that this is the sign to know whether one lives of divine will, the immutability in good, not changing. And at every blow, even one, if one lives of human will. So of human will, it always changes. Human love is fickle. It is always changing. What Jesus is asking of us is to live in the divine will, to never change, to always grow in the knowledge, grow in the light, grow in the life of this gift. So the sign to know whether one lives in the divine will is not to change. So this is why the fiat is so important. Whatever happens is fiat. You have to get to work on time and a car pulls out in front of you and instead of giving the Italian salute, you say, fiat. And really, you just begin to, you don't change. You're not going to get angry. It's just fiat. Everything is fiat. And when we learn this, there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. To live in the fiat is to live the life of Jesus, to live the life of Mary, which they breathed into Louisa. And now she is the one who possesses it fully. The only human, she's not the Son of God, she's not the Mother of God, she's a human that possesses this gift. Now why? Because Adam was a human. He wasn't the Son of God, he wasn't the Mother of God. And see, it must be done by a human. And since Louisa now begins where Adam fell, it's a repair of everything. And this is what's so beautiful. This gift of the divine will is now given to us. And we're being taught by Jesus himself. Remember what Scripture says that? We'll be taught by God. No human will have to teach you. So as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, you should have a spiritual director because you'll have questions. And the spiritual director should be a priest. And if you don't have a priest, the best time is during Lent. You go to a priest with the hours of the Passion and you say, Father, I'm reading this. Would you read this with me? And if he says, well, I'm too busy, just say, well, can you read a couple days? Well, I'm really too busy. Well, can you read one day, 1 hour? Just this, and then show him the shortest hour and say, see, there's not much to this. And then let him start reading, and then let him start guiding you. It's the priest's job to guide and direct. And Jesus says this, he's going to renew his priesthood. You might be the one, the instrument for a priest to begin to be renewed, to begin to be recreated by Jesus himself. So volume 28, 5, 2, 30. My daughter Louisa, my divine will always runs as prime act of life toward the soul. And it runs to make the soul happy, to embrace the soul and to empty the weight of all human acts. So again, this is not human anymore. God is calling us to the divine. Okay, now, don't go around and say, well, I'm now doing divine acts. That doesn't make sense. We can't do divine acts. Jesus does divine acts. But when we gaze at the Son as Jesus gazed at the Son, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, then Jesus is doing the divine act. I look at the Son, I look at the sky as Jesus looked at the Son, looked at the sky. That's a divine act. And see, we don't want to do anything separate from Jesus. We don't want to do anything on our own anymore. Even when we're driving, Jesus, come driving my driving. It's Jesus who will be driving in your driving. You know, it's so beautiful what God is going to do. You'll be empty of the weight of all that is human. In fact, everything that is not done, that is not my divine will in the soul is very hard, very heavy, very oppressing, and my divine will empties all that is human. And with its light breath, it renders all things light. Therefore, the sign that the soul lives in my divine will is that the soul feels happiness within herself, because my divine will is happiness by its own nature. Again, I can always tell someone who's reading, they're happy. I can always tell a soul that's not reading, they are unhappy. Sister Mary Catherine would say down at EWTN, she knew the sisters that were reading the divine will and the sisters that weren't reading the divine will. And all the sisters who were reading the divine will, everyone would say how happy they are, how lucky you are to be with such beautiful nuns. They were the ones that read the divine will and loved the divine will. It's the same thing for us. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, it's because you're not reading. You read and all that flees from you. It's very clear. You will receive a happiness because the divine will is happiness itself. It's by its own nature, Jesus says. Nor can the divine will give you unhappiness to one who lives in it, because the divine will does not possess unhappiness, nor does it want to, or can change its nature of happiness. Therefore, the one who lives in my divine fiat feels within herself the virtue bearer of happiness. In everything the soul does and feels, there's a vein of happiness flowing that renders every act, every pain, and every sacrifice light, joy, peace, and happiness. See, this is what's going to astonish your friends. Everybody loves to be miserable. And then they want misery loves company. So they'll call you and they'll say this and that and this and that and that and this. And if your response is, well, fiat, God's in charge, they will stop calling you. It's just they can't, because they want you to be as miserable as they are. So it's always fiat. God's in charge, fiat. And this is what God wants. He wants you to be happy. You know, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if you're like, God's going to go, I'm here. You know? Come into my happiness. Come into my peace. Come into my joy. You know, this is come into my sanctity. Come into my power. Come into my wisdom. Jesus, God has everything. And he asks us to let go of your misery. To enter into this peace, joy, and happiness is where we're supposed to be. like I said, I always can tell a soul who's not reading. They're miserable. Okay, so it says very clearly. In everything the soul does, she feels a vein of happiness flowing and rendering every act, every pain, every sacrifice divinely light. It's going to be easy. Vine 28, 4, 7, 7, 4, 30. Therefore, sorry, I do not want your flight in my divine will to ever be interrupted. So this is what we want. We want to continue this flight in the divine will. Continue this joy, this happiness in the divine will. There's nothing oppressive. God loves us so much that He is taking care of every thought that we think of, every word, every deed in the divine will. He will not let anything oppress you unless you allow it. You know, it's to let go of the things of the earth. My divine will has the repetitive virtue and all things created by us, Triune God, that have the continuous dwelling in our volition, possessing a virtue of repeating the continuous act received from God in creation and of giving this act to creatures each day, their continuous act, God's continuous act. So here is, it's to enter into this life. The sun each day gives its light. The air lets itself be breathed continuously. The water repeats each day. It's giving to man, itself to man, in order to quench his thirst, to wash him, to refresh him, and so do all the other created things. They repeat the repetitive virtue of my divine fiat. And if any of these created things could go out from within it, they would instantly lose the virtue of repeating their continuous act. That while it is odd, always is always new for the good of souls. Okay. Every time you see new, think God. Always God for the good of souls. Always God. You know, Our Lady says, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. The God of heavens, the God of earth is coming. The kingdom is going to be established. It's already been decreed by God. Jesus says, all that needs now is it needs to be known. By whom? By the souls who must live in the divine will. And the souls who must live in the divine will have the writings. So it's not your family, it's not your friends, it's not your neighbors. I mean, you can give them all the books you want, but they're not going to read it. It's for you. See, Jesus is expecting great things for you. And again, He needs us to enter into this new and abundant life. This is the surest sign that created things are in my divine will, that this is the sign that the soul lives in it and lets herself be dominated by the divine will. If her acts, though old, have the virtue of being as though always new and continuous, in my divine will there is no stops. The soul feels the ease, the virtue of her continuous act. Does the sun perhaps stop its course of always giving light? Certainly not. Is the soul who lives in my divine will feels within herself all the fullness and as though converted into her own nature, the vivifying virtue of the divine goods and of the continuous acts of the fiat? So, I missed that first line. Such is the soul who lives in my divine will. She feels within herself all the fullness of God, the converted into her own nature, the vivifying virtue of the divine goods of God, and the continuous act of the divine fiat. See, this is not human. Like we started this morning, God wants us to enter into the supernatural. That's Catholic. It's to begin to live a life that is not merely human. So that's why, if you're fascinated by sports or anything like that, is to step back and to say basically, Jesus, what do you want? And He says, you know, there's nothing evil with sports, but you're really limiting yourself to divine lives. You're limiting yourself to divine goods. He says, you basically enter into my life by reading and watch what I will do for you. And this is what our God is looking for. Volume 28, 7, 24, 30. My daughter Louisa, courage. Do not fear. I am here with you. And it's the same thing with us. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't worry about anything. I am with you. Wow. I mean, is this true or not? If it is true, how joy-filled we are. And the sign is that you feel in you the life of my fiat. So this is what God is asking of us. Do you feel within yourself the life of God? Do you feel within yourself the life of the fiat? When you say, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing, you take a deep breath. That is Jesus. It's not you anymore. Because Jesus takes us at our word. You want me to breathe in your breathing? Get out of my way. I'm going to breathe in your breathing. And you're going to feel me breathing in your breathing as if it were yourself. See, the thing that God wants is he wants us to participate in him. So he's offering us this opportunity to have him reign in us. Come swim in my swimming. Come jog in my jogging. Come drive in my driving. Whatever you think, say, and do, Jesus, come and reign in me. And then Jesus says, get out of my way. I'm coming. I'm there. This is, be courageous. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Do not complain. Do not be negative. I am with you. He says very clearly, I am inseparable from my fiat. Now you must know, this is a command of Jesus, that our divine will is in continuous attitude in our divine being. Its motion never ceases. Its works are always in act. And therefore, the divine will is always operating. But the marvelous surprises that occur when the creature enters into our divine will are enchanting and prodigious. And as the soul enters our volition and encloses itself in the creature, and while it encloses itself to the point of filling her completely, and since she cannot embrace all the divine will at all and enclose it completely within herself, the divine will overflows outside of the soul in such a way as to fill both heaven and earth in a way that it can be seen that the littleness of the soul encloses a divine will that maintains in her its incessant motion and it works operating. So again, God is reigning in the soul inside and out. And that's whatever you're doing. And when you go to bed, you say, Lord, let me sleep in my sleeping in the holy divine will. And you just give yourself to God. You know what? You want God to reign. You want God to be the Lord of your life. Why? Because this is what he wants. He wants you to participate in him. 5:29, 7:13, 7:31. Motion is the sign of life. There is no motion that cannot be life. So, to know whether the creature possesses my divine will, as if in her most innermost soul she feels my divine will, as prime alone as prime motion of everything that goes on within her. In fact, my divine will being prime motion, wherever it reigns, it shall make its prime divine motion felt, upon which shall hang all the internal and external acts, as though from the center of the prime motion of my divine will. See, it's to be one with God. Therefore, it should be the prime motion, the word, the honor, the commandant, the ruler, in such a way that each act shall be in waiting to receive the prime motion in order to move and to operate. So the creature feels in her acts the prime motion of God, of the divine will. And this is the sign that the divine will reigns in her soul. But if on the contrary she feels the prime motion of her human end, her own pleasure, natural satisfactions, the taste for pleasing creatures, my divine will should not reign, but from queen it shall act as her servant, serving her in her acts, because there is no act that the creature can do if my divine will does not concur in it, either dominating her or serving her. So, going from the human to the divine, okay? See, we don't want the human will to be in charge. This is why Lent is so important. What are you taking as your own pleasure? What are you taking as your own natural satisfactions? What are you taking as your taste for pleasing creatures? That's not the divine will. It's human. So what God is doing is he's separating you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's separating you so that you can embrace the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what's so beautiful about the divine will. You're not going to do anything for the human anymore. You know, it's very, very sad that we listen to politicians lie to us and we let it go. Okay? And therefore, if they're lying, we can lie. We can lie to ourselves. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to please Him and Him alone. Like I said before about Sundays, we keep holy the Sabbath. It's God's day. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's the Lord's day. And again, you can cook your own meals, but you don't go to restaurants. So it's good to be home with the family. But it's very sad when you make Sunday another Saturday. You have to begin to enter into this life of not pleasing yourself, but pleasing God. We don't want to participate in the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil anymore. We want to participate in the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the divine will. So Jesus says, "You must know, my daughter," again, a command of Jesus, "that the passport in order to enter my kingdom is the resolute will of never doing one's own human will, even at the cost of one's life and any sacrifice. This resolute act, but true, is like the signature that one puts on the passport in order to set off in the kingdom of my divine will. And while the creature signs it in order to set off, God signs in order to receive her. This latter signature will have so much value that the whole of heaven shall go to meet her in order to receive her into the kingdom of the divine will in which they live. And they shall be all eyes over this creature who, from the earth, holds as life, as the kingdom, that same will that the souls in heaven hold in heaven. But the passport is not enough. One must study the language, must study the ways, must study the kingdom, customs of this divine kingdom. And these are the knowledges, these are the prerogatives, these are the beauties, that the value that my divine will contains." So Jesus says, he wants us to study this language of heaven. And that's why I've said, what do you know in volume 10 that you love what Jesus says? You've studied it and you know what he says in volume 10. You know what he's doing there. It's volume 11. You know what he's saying to us at volume 11. You know how much our God wants us to embrace this. You know, it's you got to study it. You have to study the ways, the customs, the knowledges, the beauties, the values of this divine will. It has to become your life. And that's why Lent is such a great time. Our Lady of La Salette here, she said that there will be a black tabernacle in every home that people will adore. And that's the television. It's the hypnotic eye of death. She says this tabernacle will be in every home. And if you look, it's in the primary place at every home. It's where everybody sits and focuses their attention. Now, that can't be the way with us. We have to make sure that this black tabernacle isn't the thing that we worship, isn't the thing that we spend hours in front of. It has to be, again, you turn it off and watch God work with this great gift of the divine will. I mean, people are addicted from 8 to 80. They're mesmerized by what's on the television. Our job is to flee from it and to embrace this kingdom. Volume 29, 7, 27, 31. "So as Adam broke off of her divine will, Adam gambled away all of creation and also our life in him. The offense of withdrawing from our divine will is so great that we, triune God, put aside all our preparation, the great good that we have put out, and we withdraw from man. And with us, the whole of creation remains offended." This piece of candy is stuck to my tooth and I can't get it off. Sorry. So as Adam formed the fracture of our divine will, the heavens, the stars, the sun were offended. The air that he breathed, the sea, the earth that he trod, all felt offended. Because my divine will is like the heartbeat, the circulation of the blood of all created things, and therefore all felt the sorrow of the fracture of the human will, feeling themselves being touched in the heartbeat from which they received life and preservation. Now here is why there's earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues. All of creation is offended by us being separated from the will of God. And this is why, like I said, you don't kill 60 million babies and not be punished. You don't have alternative lifestyles as norm and not be punished. You don't, kill as many people as you possibly can in the hospital through euthanasia and not be punished. You can't have drugs free and not be punished. You can't have the alcohol and all that's going on and not be punished. Hang on to your hats because it's going to be really awful. What's coming is so bad. Jesus says the majority of humans will be gone. Now think about it. Where do the majority of humans live? The majority of humans live on the coastlands. If you look at all the coasts, it's filled with people. All around the whole world, all around the continents, that's where people live. The majority. What's coming is it's going to basically affect all the coastlands. You know, as a matter of fact, I was in Conyers a couple weeks ago, and one of the mystics there said that you buy property there because it'll be beachfront property someday. That's 300 miles from the ocean. You have to understand what's coming has never been seen before, and it will never be seen again. The Lord is going to wake us up. So he's really talking to everybody, and he asks us to begin to understand that these are different times. These are different times. So it says very clearly, so as Adam formed the fracture of our divine will, the heavens, the stars, the sun were offended. I think we read that. Okay. Now, if, may this never be, there had been a fracture of will between yours, Luis, and mine, I, God, would have put aside my many preparations made in your soul, my many graces that were poured, and I, God, would have withdrawn, placing myself aside. If you continue to feel me, it is a sign that my divine will is there firm in you, and your place is, and you and yours at its place. So here, remember what Jesus said to Luisa. He said, I cannot give this gift back to Adam, because Adam will lose it again. Can you imagine? Even though Adam saw everything that's happened, Jesus says, Adam will lose it again. He says, I give this gift to you, Luisa, because you will never lose this gift. This is why it's important to be linked to Luisa. She will never lose this gift. And that's why we have to prove to Jesus that we're linked to Luisa. Because then Jesus can be sure that we will not lose this gift as Adam lost it. See, this is why you got to get to know who Luisa is. You got to get to know. It is a sign the divine will is firm in Luisa, and you are firm in the place of the divine will. Volume 36, 26, 32. When I, God, want to give a great good, a new good to creatures, I give new crosses, and I want a new and unique sacrifice, a cross for which the human can give itself no reason, but there is my divine reason that man is obliged not to investigate, but to lower his forehead and to adore it. So again, think of God. I want to give you God to creatures. I want to give you God crosses in a God and unique sacrifice. I mean, think about that. That's why I said the mirror that we have is Christ crucified. We have to nail to the cross our human misery, our worry, our fear, anxiety, complaints, our negativity, our sin. The cross which the human can, this is a cross for which the human will can have give no reason, but there is a divine reason. And a man is obliged not to investigate it, but to lower his head and to adore it. So what this gift of the divine will is this. You can rip this apart. You can tear this apart. He says, this is not your obligation. Your obligation is to recognize what this gift is and to adore it. To bow your head and say, fiat. Not my will, but your will be done. See, you give a flower to a scientist, and the scientists dissect it, tear it apart, they put it under a microscope, they make sure that they, you know, put chemicals on it to see what's in there. And at the end, everything's apart. You give a flower to a child, the child looks at it in awe and then eats it. That's what we're supposed to do. Just thank you and devour this. It's if you investigate, try to figure the divine will out, all you're going to do is tear it apart. See, this gift is fiat. That's all it is. When we can say fiat, God is so happy that he wants to give us more. And then the more we say fiat, the more he wants to give us. But when somebody questions, and I've seen it over and over again, they say, I like the divine will, but I don't know about this. God said, God backs off and says, I can't give you anything more. I am not going to force you to believe this. And that's where the person stays. See, our job is not trying to say, well, I'm not sure about this. Where does this, where, what about this, what about that? It's to say fiat. And when the Lord, that's what Our Lady did. Our Lady said, not my will. She says, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Total docility. See, this is, again, it's so important that we do not offend God. He says, man is not obliged to investigate, but just to lower his head and adore it. And besides, this was about the kingdom of my divine will, and my love had to invent and want new crosses and new sacrifices never before received to be able to find pretext, the prop, the strength, the sufficient coins, an extremely long chain to let itself be bound by the creature, and the sure sign when we try and God want to give a great and universal good in the world is to ask of a creature a great sacrifice, a proximity in it. And these are the assurances, the certainties of the good that we want to give. And when we find one who accepts, we make that soul a portent of grace. And in a sacrifice, we form the life of that good that we want to give. So what Jesus says about to Louisa is, he says that, Louisa, I crucify you every day. And Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt, occasionally came into the bedroom and found Louisa covered with blood, the bed covered with blood, the floor covered with blood. And she'd run out to get towels. And she'd come back in and Louisa would be there. Because Louisa did not want anybody to know that she had stigmata. Yeah. So here again, what he did to Louisa, that's why volume one is very hard to read. God takes a little child and crushes her. And people go, who is this God that would crush a little child? And the thing is, God would reform her to the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. And that's why we, by linking ourselves to Louisa, we also will receive this gift. 31, 10, 21, 32. My daughter, do not fear. In order to reassure you, I want to tell you the sign of when I reside and when I depart. So, if the soul submits to my divine will, loves the divine will, and gives the divine will the prime place, it is a sign that I, God, reside in that soul, because my presence has the virtue of keeping the human will submitted to mine. On the other hand, if the soul feels rebellious to my divine will, then it is a certain sign that I have withdrawn. Therefore, calm yourself and do not fear. So we know that the divine will reigns in Louisa. We want this gift. That's why we link ourselves to her. Volume 30, 31, 11:27-32. So my mind was crowded with so many things that regard the divine will that if I wanted to write everything, I do not know where I would go to get the paper. Therefore, I limit myself as much as I can. And since some doubts crept into my mind, my celestial teacher Jesus, visiting his little newborn, told me, "Blessed daughter, one act then has more value when the good that there is inside is known. And however more it's known, so much more one acquires, because the creature does that act on the basis of the value that he knows. Our paternal goodness does not know how to deceive or to trick anyone." So Jesus is saying, the more we know the value of the divine will, the more good it can produce. So that's why Jesus asks us to read, to study, to put this into practice, to know this so well, so that God can abound in goodness, abound in grace. If we make known what is the value in that act, it is because we, Triune God, want to give the value that we have manifested. And the certain sign is the knowledge itself, and that it already possesses that value by itself. We, Triune God, act like a king who takes a paper that has no value and places there 100, there 1,000, there 1,000,000. The paper is the same quality, the same form, but according to the number, and so the value it possesses. Therefore, what gives value to the paper is the number and the image of the king who uses it as money for the kingdom. And again, that's what Jesus has done. The knowledge of this gift is so important. So this has to be your everything. You know, Jesus is asking us, pleading with us to study this language of heaven, to become fluent in it, and so that he can teach us divine truths, divine realities. Volume 32, 5:14-33. "See, therefore, making your round in my divine will." Okay, so this is what we're called to do. "Uniting yourself to its acts, to call on us, Triune God, to love you with a special and new love, and God calls you in order to make himself love with your new and special love. And God himself shall be your witness, who shall say to all of heaven, to all of earth, 'It is true I have loved, but she has loved me.'" And this is Louisa and us, linked to Louisa. "I can say that my love calls her and her calls mine, to love each other. Therefore, the one who lives in our divine will places our divine love in sanctity, nor do we have the sorrow that there can be rejection. Rather, as a sign that she has received it, she responds to us by giving us her love." So again, it's mutual love, God possessing us and us possessing God. So I was thinking about the divine will, and 1,000 thoughts crowded my mind of doubts and of anxieties, uncertainties, of sighs, and of wanting the divine will's primary life of my life. I wanted its sweet empire inside and outside of me. So these questions that Louisa has are our questions. And poor Louisa, she's gone through all our questionings, all our doubts, all our fears, all our worries, all our concerns, and Jesus has let her go through it, so another great suffering, so that he could answer us through her. So we'll stop there. In 15 minutes, we'll be back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.